Well, friends, last week, I know it was a little while ago because it was last year, but hopefully you can remember. Last week, Ben helpfully took us through the seventh day of creation from Genesis, the day that the Lord God took to rest. He reminded us that rest is ordained by God, it is given by God for his people, and that it is from our rest that we have the ability to then work. Well, this morning, we have two Old Testament readings, one from Exodus and one from Joshua. The reason being that we're looking this morning at how rest was built into the law of Israel from the beginning. And that's what we see in Exodus. And that rest, secondly, is what the Israelites are longing for and they eventually gain. Although, of course, it is temporary gain. And that's from the book of Joshua. So that's what we're looking at this morning, continuing this the theme over the month of January of rest and seeing how God planned rest for his chosen people, Israel, and how that played out. So let's start this morning from Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. And I encourage you, if you've got your Bibles in front of you there, find Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11 in those Bibles. And while you do so, let me remind you of the passage that we actually find ourselves in this morning. Well, Exodus 20 is a very famous chapter. And it's known for holding the Ten Commandments within it. Well, our passage this morning is about the Sabbath day of rest, which is the fourth commandment. And in fact, I'm not sure if you're into this sort of thing, but I had a quick look. And the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day of rest, is in fact the longest of all the commandments given in both the English and the Hebrew language. So it is. It's the longest one. And the command given from verses 8 to 11 is to remember the Sabbath day. It is to remember it by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is to be different. The seventh is reserved. It is for rest. No work for you, no work for your kids, no work for your family unit, no work for your servants, if you had servants back then. No work for your animals, no work for any foreigners. And the commandment looks to creation to back up the reason why you should rest. We rest why? Well, in Exodus 20, because God rested after creation, and because he designed Sabbath rest to be holy. He designed it to be set apart. So then what we see in our passage from Exodus 20, 8 to 11, is that the Sabbath day of rest is designed to fulfill two roles. Two roles for the people of Israel. First, it's designed to be a break. It is designed to be a break from work 1 day a week. So the purpose then is restoration for our bodies. And second, it is designed for holiness, for putting aside 1 day for special attention to our spirituality and our godliness. And that is restoration for the soul. So it's got two purposes. It's restoration for the body and restoration for the soul. And this command of rest is also different from other days. It prohibits every day looking the same. 6 days of work, one of rest. No work for 1 day. Workers, stop working. 1 day a week, you should rest. And the Lord God has no limits on who this rest applies to. If you're part of the nation of Israel, that rest is for you. It is for you, it is for your family, it is for your kids. Again, if you had servants, it was for your servants. And even the NIV says it is for the alien. Now, friends, don't be confused with E.T. or a science fiction that you may have read or any television you've watched recently. That word alien is not what we understand it in our culture to be. It is, the actual word alien is the word that the Hebrews used for a foreigner. Or for an immigrant. That is, someone who was born from another country but resides in Israel. So the rest is for everyone. If you are in Israel, if you are part of the tribe of Israel, that rest is for you. It is for your family, it's for your kids, it's for your servants, and it's for your foreigners. There is no work to be done. It's a day of rest, a day of holiness, and a day of godliness. And friends, it would seem that this fourth commandment to rest, when we read it, you know, in the Ten Commandments, we never really seem to give it much weight. Perhaps we feel like it's a bit flexible. And our present culture certainly tells us that. We certainly feel this way, but in fact, for Israel, there was actually consequences if they didn't observe the Sabbath. If they didn't observe and participate in the Sabbath, there were some consequences. God was serious about having rest. And the consequence could actually be as severe as death. That might surprise you. In Exodus 31, verses 12 to 18, the Lord tells Moses to speak to his chosen people Israel, and he wants Moses to remind them that the Sabbath must be observed because it's holy. But then he says, if anyone desecrates the Sabbath, they should be put to death. Or if anyone worked on the Sabbath, they would be cut off from the nation of Israel. That's quite harsh. But the reason being, because if you failed to observe the Sabbath, you would actually be showing in your actions the contempt you had for the special relationship that is for you and God, between God and his people. And in not observing and participating in it, that was actually separating yourself and showing, you know, your contempt for it. And I think on a spiritual level, we know this to be true as well, because if we reject the Sabbath, it would be like rejecting God's rest for us and embracing spiritual death. As Ben reminded us last week, the Sabbath is designed to help people become spiritually stronger and closer to God. So rest is purposefully built into the law of Israel. It is the fourth commandment. And it is there for their good. And it is for rest, and it is for their holiness and their godliness. And so we can see that. We've gone through Exodus 20, we can see that the law of the Sabbath was important for God's chosen people Israel. But as we move from the fourth commandment in Exodus through to Joshua 22, we look at how the nation went with that. How they went from a Sabbath one day a week rest to needing rest in their new home of the promised land. So turn your Bibles to Joshua 22 now. And as you do go to Joshua 22, let me remind you, in Exodus 20, Moses had been given the Ten Commandments just after being freed from the oppression of Egypt. So they've come out of Egypt, they've come out of oppression, they've been given their Ten Commandments. But the book of Joshua is not in that setting. We fly forward a bit. In the book of Joshua, we're actually now about them taking the promised land. It's conquest. And when we reach Joshua 22, we actually are at the end of Joshua. And we found that they've done pretty well with their conquest. And the tribes, you know, areas have been outlined where they're going to live in the promised land. And in Joshua 22, verses 1 and 2, Joshua has just summoned 2.5 tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. So he's summoned them, and he's told them, you have done it. You have completed the work that Moses commanded, and that I have commanded, Joshua says. And if you're wondering what the work was, the details of what they were asked to do are in Joshua chapter 1. Which I would encourage you to read it in your own personal time a bit later. But Joshua, he brings these tribes, these 2.5 tribes, and he commends them. He commends these tribes for their faithfulness because they carried out their work that was commanded by Moses, by Joshua, and even ultimately by God himself. They've carried it out and they've done it. They weren't supposed to settle in the promised land until the entire land of Canaan had been taken. And so they had done their duty, and Joshua says, well done, you are done. Verse 3 mentions that for a long time, these tribes have been at work. And even to the day when Joshua spoke with them, they were busy. They were busy with their duties that had been given by God. So therefore, Joshua in verse 4 declares, "It is your turn to rest." Just as God has granted rest to other tribes, which we see in the chapter previous, so now rest is given to these tribes. All the commands have been carried through to the end, and the end of Joshua 21, that is our chapter before, they show that the Lord gave Israel rest on every side. From verses 43 to 45. Rest is given on every side. Every good promise was fulfilled. And the rest can finally be embraced. And friends, we shouldn't underestimate how important this rest was for the people of Israel. This morning, before this service, we had another service, an 8:30 service, where we did morning prayer. And one of the things we did was we looked at Psalm 95 and we read that together. And actually, it's in Psalm 95, we're actually reminded, again, you could look at this in your own time, but in the last half of Psalm 95, it speaks of the first generation of Israelites, the ones, you know, who were in the 40 years of the Promised Land. They came out of slavery. They saw the Ten Commandments. They were in Exodus 20, the same generation. And they were wandering for 40 years before reaching the Promised Land. They had no home. They had no rest. The first generation, Psalm 95 says, hardened their hearts. They tested and tried the Lord God, even though they had seen personally what God had done for them. Their hearts were astray. And they were not allowed to enter the rest that God had prepared for them. So don't underestimate how important this rest was for these tribes. Because the first generation of the nation of Israel, they didn't get the rest. And so Joshua comes to these tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he tells them to rest. And he tells them to return to their homes and to guard themselves, verse 5, to be careful, to keep God's commandments and laws, and to serve the Lord with all their hearts and souls. As the nation of Israel had been tirelessly working toward making the Promised Land ready, they finally enter rest. And Joshua blesses them and he sends them. So rest is what the Israelites are finally redeemed for. Because of their faithfulness and their obedience, rest is what they finally enter into. Friends, rest is given by God. And through the chosen people of Israel, we find a timely reminder for us to be faithful, to be loyal to God by resting. Now we know that unfortunately, Israel's rest was only temporary because of their sinful hearts, because of their sinfulness. They went back. And they were ultimately looking forward to a day when things would finally be restored. And the good news that you and I already know is that the Lord of the Sabbath was coming and has come, and his name is Jesus. But they had to wait for that. And friends, you will also have to wait for that next week when Jason Hobber preaches that. But friends, as I finish, I'm struck by how God built rest into the law, into the structure of his chosen people as individuals and as a nation to be observed and to be kept. But why do we take rest so flippantly? Perhaps you're guilty of some of these things. I've been preaching myself today. But perhaps this is you. Perhaps it's okay. I'll just pop into the office for half an hour, which turns into half a day. No, it can wait. It can wait. This is the one I'm really guilty of. I'll check my emails or take that phone call just in case, even though it's my day off. Don't do it. Rest. Turn your phone off. Or perhaps for you, it's not so much the work, but the overcommitment to things. Overcommitment to social activity, or sports, or catching up, or serving in church, even this church, or serving in our wider community. Now, all those commitments are good. They are good in moderation. But to overcommit is to work yourself into the ground. Rest. Enjoy the day by being restored for the week to come. Align yourself in holiness and godliness with the Lord Jesus. Friends, rest is for our good. It helps us not just for a day off or not just for relaxation, but for actual restoration, making us ready for the week to come. Rest, and particularly Sabbath rest, it helps us to realign ourselves in holiness and godliness. And it's not just for us. It's for our families. And it's for our church community too. And this rest shows us that the ultimate goal of life is to rest in Jesus. Whilst it is true that our rest is temporary in this world, the rest that we ought to experience points us. It points us beyond the one day a week, Sabbath rest, and it points us to a whole of creation restored forever at the end of time, where we'll be resting in the presence of our glorious God forever. And we look forward to that day. Amen.